child is not supposed to pass away before you. It's not supposed to work like that.
One minute he was walking, chatting, having a laugh, and then all of a sudden, he just completely, everything stopped.
We tried like mad to resuscitate him, and he was pronounced dead at Hillingdon Hospital early hours the next morning.
It was just nothing. So we thought, you know, if he was in pain or had a heart attack, you know, he'd say, help me, Mum, you know, or something, or Dad, but nothing.
I can't understand when you're so fit why this happens to children.
When someone's laying in their bed and they've died of something like a sudden heart attack or something, they look just like they're asleep, and he looked like he was just asleep, and you can't really think, well, this person's dead, because they look too peaceful and you look too young, and then it's when you hug them and then you feel how cold they are, and you, there's just nothing there. One night to be
confused. Losing a young person is something no family should have to deal with. But what happens when their death comes completely out of the blue? Suddenly, without warning, in a heartbeat. Every week in the UK, 12 apparently fit and healthy young people aged 14 to 35 die suddenly from undiagnosed heart conditions. This is known as sudden cardiac death syndrome. It's a term used to cover many different types of unexpected cardiac and unexplainable deaths in young people. Philippa's boyfriend Chris was a keen sportsman. They met at school and were together for 3 years, when at the age of 21, Chris passed away in his sleep.
Luckily, the last thing I said to him was, oh, I love you, and I'll see you tomorrow. And then I was in bed, and then suddenly these two people came flying in through my bedroom door and sat either side of me and grabbed my hands. And my mum just said, oh, you know, it's Chris. Something's happened. He's had a massive heart attack. And I thought, well, he must be in hospital. What hospital's he in? She said he died. I think when you know someone's going to die, you know they're suffering, I think you get, immediately afterwards, you have a sort of guilt because you sort almost feel like a relief. I think when Chris died suddenly, your body goes into shock. It's almost like a train crash, I think, or a massive car crash. And then it's not until months or weeks or months after that that you suddenly start feeling again.
Tonight, a Premier League footballer is fighting for his life.
Fabrice Muamba remains in a critical condition.
There have been efforts to try to resuscitate.
When Bolton Wanderers footballer Fabrice Muamba suffered a cardiac arrest at White Hart Lane in 2012, the sporting world was in shock. But for Sonia, the story was all too familiar.
All he wanted to do was play football. As a young boy, that's all they want to do.
Sonia's son, Anton Reid, was a promising football player. He was scouted by Walsall FC and played for their junior team. Then, during a training session, Anton suffered a heart attack after being hit in the chest by a football.
When Anton died, he was 16-year-old. He's quiet, shy. He was a great athlete. Any sport, Anton did it. If you had said to me that there was something wrong with him, I'd have said no way to you. He showed no signs, no symptoms. He's been playing football since the age of 7. He's been running around. But it was just so, so, so sudden. It was though it wasn't real. He's just hoping that somebody would probably pinch you and wake you up and say that, you know, it's not true.
Sonia now tries to make something positive come from the tragedy that happened to her family. Every year she hosts a memorial dinner in memory of Anton to raise money for the charity Cardiac Risk in the Young.
As a mother, there's nothing else I can do besides try and prevent this disease happening or occurrence happening to anyone else. For me, if I can help someone along the way, it'll be a bonus. If I can just prevent one death, it's a bonus.
Cardiac Risk in the Young, can I help?
Here at Cardiac Risk in the Young, or CRY, not only does the charity aim to support families who have lost loved ones to a sudden cardiac death, but also aim to raise awareness of what young people can do to prevent themselves from being at risk.
One of the challenges that we face in preventing sudden deaths is the fact that 80% of them are asymptomatic.
That's Dr. Stephen Cox, CRY's Deputy Chief Executive.
The first and probably the most important aim is to raise awareness. Through raising awareness, we know that families who have had a sudden death will know the importance of having other family members screened. When people find out about us soon after a tragedy, we can ensure that the family are screened quickly to see if they have the same condition.
That screening is done through an electrocardiogram, or ECG, and analyses a person's heart rate to check for irregularities. Cry believe that if more young people were to have these screenings, the amount of deaths could be dramatically reduced.
Of the 12 sudden deaths a week, it's hard to be 100% sure how many of those deaths would be prevented with screening. But in Italy, the research has shown there's been an 89% reduction in sudden deaths when screening is conducted. So since Cry has started, there have been well over 10,000 sudden deaths since 1995. And we believe 9,000 of those people could still be here today if they'd had a cardiac screening.
Hi there, I'm here for the ECG screening.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I've come to Wolverhampton, where the Cry team are screening the hearts of over 100 fit and active young people to make sure that they're not living with an underlying heart condition, which could be putting them at risk.
My name's Peter Lewis, and I'm a senior lecturer in cardiology at Cambridge. We do the 12-lead ECG in here, and the results are instant. The ECG itself takes 5 minutes, completely painless, and from that, the doctor can make a decision based on a 12-lead ECG and asking questions. Once they've checked in, they then have an ECG. That's just up here.
Once the screening is complete, the results are then analysed by Sabia Gatti. She's one of Cry's research fellows in cardiology.
One in 300 individuals has a potentially fatal condition that could kill them, and one in 100 individuals will be identified who have minor cardiac problems, which may cause problems later on in life. These conditions are treatable. Cry allows us to screen for these conditions and treat these conditions, so it will help reduce the number of deaths.
When a young person has an underlying heart condition, there are usually no symptoms whatsoever. More often than not, the first sign that anything is wrong is death. Today's session in Wolverhampton is being funded by Resham Nagra and her family, who has raised the money in memory of her son, Pardeep.
4 years ago, my son was walking, getting a cup of tea, and he just collapsed. And when they did the post-mortem, they found out it was cardiac arrest in the young. And we don't want another family to go through what we've been going through. It's very hard and tough. Every day is a struggle without him. He was a happy, active, healthy child, played hockey. I can't understand when you're so fit why this happens to children. And our aim today is to make people aware, get the children screened so nothing happens to their loved ones. And they won't have to go through what we're going through. It is a big struggle. Every day is hard. To lose a child at the age of 26, or even younger, it's not fair. It shouldn't happen. We shouldn't have to be doing what we're doing today if this was available. If something was picked up for us and we knew there was something wrong with him, he might have been still here today.
Although many sudden deaths can later be put down to an undiagnosed heart condition, for some families, an exact cause of death of their loved one is more difficult to obtain.
James was 21, seemingly fit and healthy. He was a good athlete, played football, mean tennis player.
Jeff Markham's son James died back in 2001, yet after a 10-year battle, he and his wife have only just received the death certificate stating the exact cause of James's death.
In the months after his death, I had this recurring dream where I saw him, and he kept saying to me, "What happened to me, Dad?" And I kept on having that dream, and I knew that I had to find out what happened. So there was a fresh inquest into his death only a matter of months ago, at which they got the true diagnosis. He'd gone out from the house to drop his car off one night. It was being serviced. The garage was about half a mile from where we lived. He'd gone out about 10 o'clock and he was going to post the keys through the letterbox. But he didn't come back. Now, normally I'd thought, oh, he's gone round one of his pals. For some strange reason, something said to me, something's not right here, because he was also a quite responsive sort of young man. And if he wasn't going to come home, he would have thought, my mum's going to worry, I'll ring. But he didn't. So I don't know why, but I went out and looked for him, and he was about 100 yards down the road. just lying on the side of the road. We tried like mad to resuscitate him, and he was pronounced dead at Hillingdon Hospital early hours the next morning.
Since James's death, Jeff and his wife Sandra have formed a support group called Walk and Talk, with the aim of helping other families cope with the loss of a young person to a sudden cardiac or unexplained death.
Sometimes we'd just walk in our own thoughts, and sometimes we'd walk and talk things over, and I think that was really helpful for us. For maybe for some of the original seven, we tend to talk more peripheral stuff, but for some of the newly bereaved parents or friends or husbands or wives, it tends to be very much more focused on the tragedy that they've recently had. We did a walk about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we had a couple join us, and the whole time we were walking around, they were talking about the loss of their daughter. So hopefully they found it beneficial.
Jeff is now trying to get a law passed which would mean all families would have the right to a correct death certificate which states the exact cause of a person's death. But despite a suggested change to the law in the House of Commons, as of yet there is still nothing that requires a young person to receive an ECG screening.
There are people who are interested in what I'm doing, and I just want to spread the word really.
Gareth Mallon works as a paramedic for the East Midlands Ambulance Service. After being called out to a young boy with chest pains, he noticed that himself and other paramedics weren't trained to expect cardiac conditions in young people. So, along with the charity Cardiac Risk in the Young, he has created an educational DVD to inform other paramedics on what to look for and how to deal with a cardiac arrest in a young person.
As far as we're concerned, young people don't have heart problems. Older people do, young people don't. So it was a bit of a shock, really, to notice that somebody could have a condition that we don't know about or we've heard about, but we don't associate it with younger people. The idea was to educate ambulance staff, really, about what things we need to look for and our job and our role in all this as well. People always concentrate money with the older people. They spend millions of pounds on keeping people alive for a few years rather than investing a smaller amount on young people to keep them alive for a lot longer. The contribution they could put back in would far outweigh, I think, the amount of money spent on them. All it takes is education and screening. It's not really that difficult.
Despite Gareth's view that more money should be invested into the hearts of young people, the debate on ECG screening is still a controversial one, with some believing that the current method is not accurate enough for it to be offered to all 14 to 35-year-olds. However, despite the uncertainty surrounding it, many families who have lost a young person to a sudden cardiac death have worked tirelessly to raise money to give hundreds of other young people the chance to have their heart screened, in the hope that, if there is anything wrong, they'll have the chance to find out before it's too late.
Even if we help one person,
it could just save one life.
If I can just prevent one death.
If that would help just one person.
Let's say if we can help one person, even one family, and it'd be worth all this hard work.